What is going on, boys and girls? It is me, Big Mike. Welcome to episode 4 of Deck Design MTG. So, what we're going to do today? Well, just sitting back, relaxing a little bit, thinking about how I want to, you know, provide this information in this wonderful adventure through Magic the Gathering cards and fancy cardboard and all these magical things. I've been thinking to myself, maybe 2 podcasts a little thinned out. You know, I'd love to give you guys both of them, but I feel like if I thin them out, one's really not going to serve a purpose at all. You're going to get a little bit of a primer for the next. It's more of an announcement than a podcast. You know what I mean? So, I think we're going to go back. We're going to default to 1 podcast a week. And it most likely will come out around Tuesday each week. This one might be early, might not. I haven't loaded it up yet. I'm thinking about putting it out tonight. So, but, that's what I'm thinking. So, in this one podcast, we're going to just hammer out all the good stuff, right? So, starting with our announcements, start with the easy stuff here because it's a podcast. I have to share with you this wealth of information and you know, direct you to these wonderful places where I do Magic the Gathering, anything and everything. So, the first place to look us up is twitch.tv/deckdesignmtg. We will be on there Sunday afternoons from 1 to 2 Eastern Standard Time, and then Thursday evenings 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sunday is going to just kind of be a nonchalant hanging out. We're going to go over some stuff with Magic. We might play some games. It's an interacting. It's a ask the questions. It's a get to know my crew, get to know my chat, get to know everybody that wants to be a part of this wonderful group and this wonderful community. It started out as I want to, you know, prime you guys for the conversation, but I can do that in about 10 minutes. It simplifies the conversation really, really well. So I don't want to do a 10-minute stream. That just wouldn't benefit anybody. But if we get on there and we play some new games, or if we do, you know, shiny runs and Let's Go Pokemon and you know, we play a little Legend of Zelda, you know, it could be a lot of fun for everybody. Plus, you guys can take a trip into my life. You guys can answer me ask me questions about Magic the Gathering, in terms of deck building, deck design, while we're all just hanging out, watching some fun games and just chilling. So that'll be Sunday, and then Thursday night will obviously be our deck design or our deck build every week. So super exciting. We'll spend 2 hours Thursday night piecing together a beautiful piece of artwork that is going to be 99 cards of insanity plus 1 commander that will just rule them all. So that's Thursday night. All the chat, all the things will be happening, and I would love to see all of you in there. Again, twitch.tv/deckdesignmtg. The other place that you can find us, or one of the other places that you can find us, is on YouTube. We do have a YouTube channel, so please go check it out. We are Deck Design MTG on YouTube. It is our home. It is our home base. If anything you miss on Thursday, or if you miss anything on Sunday, now Sunday stuff might be a little variable, but if you miss anything on Thursday, or it's too late for you on Thursday, as I know I have some people in Europe that chime into the show, it will be uploaded to a special playlist on that channel. I would love to get you guys subbed there. I would love to get you guys information and hang out, chat, and do all the comments and likes and subscribes. So please find us on YouTube, Deck Design MTG. There's a big old picture of my face right on the front there, all excited, waiting to greet you. That is our second place to be found. You can find us on Twitter at Different Gaming. It's also Deck Design MTG. It's on there, but it's at Different Gaming. Different Gaming is the name of what I do, the company that kind of runs all of this stuff. So it's Different, DYFRNT, Gaming on Twitter. You can find us there. I'll always be making announcements and hanging out, and just chatting away. So you can find us on that as well. And then, of course, you have our podcast, which you are currently listening to. But if it's something that I sent to you or something that I posted on another social media webpage, our podcast can be found on Spotify as well as iTunes under The Deck Design Show. Spaces in the Middle, that's the name of the show, and you can find us right on there, and all the episodes will be uploaded weekly. So, all right, now that we got all the shenanigans out of the way, let's talk about what you came here for. Let's give it to you. All right, so recap. Last week, we had a blast brewing together a Gruul Big Mana Hydras deck with Nikia of the Old Ways at the helm. Stupid amounts of mana, stupidly big creatures, lots of draw, very powerful, very, very exciting deck. Plays very well. You get turn 5 and 6, man, you are just turned on, ready to rock and roll. So we're going to go over that deck a little bit today. We're going to bump that stuff right over to your ears and dive right on in. So, starting out, we got Nikia of the Old Ways. Now, Nikia is... she is 3 red green. You cannot cast non-creature spells. Whenever you tap a land for mana, add 1 mana of any type that land produced. Okay, so any type that land produced, if you pick, if you have a Rootbound Crag and it taps for red or green, and you tap it for a green, you can't just make a red out of it. Okay, so it's whatever you produced. All right, this leads us in the direction of big mana, which is where we went. Lots of mana dump into everything. And then big, stompy, aggressive creatures with lots of fun effects. That's what this deck does. If you are just a combat love machine, this is the deck for you. So, continuing down our list. Now, we do break this all up into the sections on moxfield.com, which go planeswalkers, creatures, sorceries, instants, artifacts, enchantments, and lands. So that will be how we go over our list here. So, starting with our planeswalkers. We did put 3 in the deck. They are there for very specific reasons. Now remember, if Nikki is out on the battlefield, you're not going to be able to cast these guys. But if you can get them out there, they will provide awesome value just for being them. So, our first commander... or our first planeswalker, excuse me, is going to be Nissa, who shakes the world. This is making some splash in standard right now in a lot of teamer elemental decks. Or big mono green stompy decks, excuse me. And it is just, it's a mana doubler basically. So whenever you tap a forest for mana, add an additional green to it. So it makes all of your forests tap for 2. Which is just awesome. It's just, does exactly what this deck wants to do on the face of it. It's a static effect. It just happens. You don't have to plus her for it or anything like that. Her plus one is put 3 +1/+1 counters on up to 1 target non-creature land you control. Untap it, it becomes a 0/0 elemental creature with vigilance and haste. That's still a land. So the fun part here is the untap part. We can plus her and put counters on, make it a creature, so on and so forth, but untap it. That means that we can use it again. That's a super big win for us. I like it a lot. I think that it gives us a lot of value, especially since we're running things in here that double more mana. So your 1 land is going to tap for, 3, 4, 5, 6 mana. That's a huge thing. It's a big benefit. So her -8 ability says you get an emblem with lands you control have indestructible. You can search for your library for any number of forest cards and then put them onto the battlefield tapped and shuffle your library. So basically, ultimate her, all your lands are indestructible, then go and get all the forests out of your deck, just put them on the battlefield tapped and shuffle up. It's just an amazing card. Lots of value, lots of lands, lots of benefit. All right, our next one. We have Nissa World Waker. She is 3 green-green. Comes in with 3 loyalty counters on her. And her plus 1 is target land you control becomes a 4/4 elemental creature with trample. It is still a land. That is not why we run this deck. The next plus 1 is, though. The plus 1 under that is untap up to 4 target forests. This is a huge win for us, since our forest will most likely be tapping for anywhere between 2 to 4 mana individually. This is just a huge boon, right? So if, even if they're tapping for 2, if we get to untap 4 forests, we're going to be able to utilize 8 more mana, and this is just on an activation of her. Huge win, huge victory. I think it's great value, and definitely earned her spot in the deck for sure. We have Vivian, Champion of the Wilds. She's 2 and a green. You may cast creature spells as though they had flash. That is a surprisingly powerful effect in green. A lot of times, because green doesn't do a lot of hasty type effects, so being able to cast creatures with as though they had flash on your opponent's end step right before your turn, I mean, that's just huge. You cast a Hydra Omnivore or something like that, you know, and then you can immediately attack with it on your turn. It's the first time you've had it out. They haven't had the ability to respond or build a defense to it. I mean, that's awesome. It also enables you to play a very responsive game, since a lot of our creatures do a lot of really kind of janked out weird things. So that is her static ability. This Planeswalker, as well as the Nissa, Nissa and Vivian, they are both from War of the Spark. The other one, I believe, is from a Zendikar block. I don't remember which one, though. So, all right. So, Vivian's +1. Until your next turn, untap one target creature. Let me redo this. +1. Until your next turn, up to one target creature gains vigilance and reach. And then her -2. Look at the top 3 cards of your library. Exile 1 face down and put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. For as long as it remains exiled, you may look at that card and you may cast it if it's a creature card. Now, we're running just pure... I mean, we do have some instances of sorceries and enchantments in here, but this is a lot just creatures. So this enables us to... It's basically draw a card and be able to cast it. We'll have a ton of mana, so being able to actually utilize the mana and tap those creatures and cast those creatures into it is going to be a huge thing. So, big win for that. She definitely has a place here. Now, Planeswalkers inherently are a little bit slow, so we wanted to make sure that the static effect, or at least the one activation that you'll get off of, you know, Nissa Worldwaker, is really worth it. There's a lot of other Planeswalkers that are out there that, you know, they could be fun in the deck, but they're a little slow, or that instant value is not really there. I mean, World Waker is essentially free, given the amount of mana that we're going to be able to make with lands, as long as you kind of built your board in its place. So, those are our Planeswalkers for the deck. Our creatures. We are running 38 creatures in this deck, so it really goes to show you how much this deck is a creature-based, you know, goal. The deck itself is aligned to cast creatures. That's what it wants to do. So, our first creature here is the Apocalypse Hydra. Apocalypse Hydra enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. If X is 5 or more, it enters the battlefield with an additional X +1/+1 counters on it. Making 5 mana in this deck for, you know, what amounts to 7 total mana for this creature is easy. So this creature is going to be a 7 mana 10-10, basically, when it comes down. Now, we can pay 1 and a red to remove a counter and deal 1 damage to any target. Now, doing the 1 pinger damage is not really a thing you're going for here. Having that big stompy, you know, 10-10 on board is where we're really going. So, all right. Our next creature is Beast Whisperer. So Beast Whisperer says, whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card. A lot of these draws that we're going to get are going to be on cast. And that's because there will be times when we're playing against a blue player and they will counter the spell, but we'll still be able to get the cast trigger out of it. That's very important in this deck, because green and red... green's draw is a little strange. It can be a little hefty in terms of mana cost. And we all know about red's draw effects. So red is a little bit it hurts a little bit on the draw. So being able to use Beast Whisperer and a couple other creatures that we have in here towards the end enable us to draw on the cast so that we always can get that one card. We have a Birds of Paradise, which will tap for any one color. We have a Burnished Heart. The Burnished Heart is going to give us the ability to kind of go out, sack it, put a couple lands into play, and we're good to go. It's just ramp. I mean, we are in green, but a Burnished Heart's a good creature to have. All right. Continuing, we have Collector Oofy. Collector Oofy is awesome in this deck, mainly because we don't run a ton of artifacts. Collector Oofy is one in a green. Activated abilities of artifacts cannot be activated. So it just locks out artifact decks, basically. And because we are so creature-centric, and we're only running a few artifacts, this really doesn't impact us overly negative. It's a good... it's a good use of two mana to protect what you got going on. So, Dawn Trader Elk. So, Dawn Trader Elk is pay a green, sacrifice it, and then go get a basic land card, put it on the battlefield, tapped, and shuffle your library. We have Diligent Farmhand. So, sacrifice it, put a basic land card, and put it into play, tapped, and shuffle. These are all just literally just go get lands, right? So, we have a Farhaven Elf. Go get a basic land, put it on a battlefield tap. You want to be able to ramp hard in this deck. This deck is very expensive, but it's built to be able to pay for things quickly. But you have to make sure that you're ramping very, very harsh in the very beginning. You don't want to be doing anything else. If anything, you want to take your beats in the beginning and just play your ramp. Just get your lands going. Our next creature is Feral Hydra. Feral Hydra enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. Hydras have that effect. So every time you hear me say blank Hydra, it thing does this. There's most likely going to be some sort of synergy or alignment with it's going to have X +1/+1 counters on it. It's just the nature of the beast. It's kind of what happens. So we can pay 3 to put a +1/+1 counter on Feral Hydra, any player may activate this ability. So, that's a fun one. We have Fertilid. Fertilid is a cool political tool, just for any of you people that have not used him before. Fertilid enters the battlefield with 2 +1/+1 counters on it. We can pay 1 and a green to remove a counter and search your library for a basic land card. Put it on the battlefield tap, then shuffle. But it's target player searches. So, if somebody's really land screwed and is just having a tough go at it, you could say, hey, you know, give me a couple turns, or, you know, work with me to take out player A, you know, and I'll give you a land. I can pull one out of the battlefield for you, and it won't cost me basically anything at this point. What do you say? So you can use it to help ramp other people in there in order to max out that value. So Fertilid is really cool. I like Fertilid a lot. We do have Gargos. Now, Gargos is like the quintessential Hydra, like, champion of the universe. Gargos is a really interesting creature. If we didn't love red so much for the big flashy X spells that we'll get into in a minute, Gargos would be the commander here. So Gargos is a 3 green creature. This legendary Hydra. He has a vigilance, and Hydra spells you cast cost 4 less to cast, which is just absurd. Yes, that does apply also into the X for those Hydras, which is just bananas. Whenever a creature you control becomes the target of a spell, Gargos Vicious Watcher fights up to 1 target creature you don't control. So even if you target one of your guys, right? So if you target one of your Hydras or one of your elves or something with a spell, Gargos is just going to fight whatever's near it, and that's it. It's going to use one of them heads and just snip right at it. It gives it really powerful removal ability, but also gives it, you know, the mana reduction cost for all of your Hydras. He's a fantastic commander alone, but he's stellar in this build because we it's a big mana build. So being able to utilize that is just awesome. So we got a new card in here that's actually from Eldraine. So we're going to put Grumgully the Generous in here. Each other non-human creature you control enters the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter on it. Just for the sake of adding in that extra damage for that extra +1/+1 counter, I think it's worth it to run him in here. We're running the Hydra Broodmaster. Now, this is a card from Theros, and it's really interesting. So it is 4 green-green for a 7/7. It has XX green Monstrosity X. Monstrosity says, if this creature isn't monstrous, put X +1/+1 counters on it, and it becomes monstrous. So this becomes a big mana sink later on in the game. We can kind of dump a huge amount of mana into this and then trigger its monstrous ability. The second portion to that is when Hydra Broodmaster becomes monstrous, put XXX green Hydra creature tokens onto the battlefield. That's X Hydras with power toughness XX. So if we paid 10 mana into X and we made a monstrous with 5 counters on it, we would get 5/5/5 Hydras as soon as you went monstrous. That value is stupid good. It's expensive for sure, but that's the whole, you know, the pro and con with monstrous. But the value that comes out of it is just really interesting, really powerful, and really unique and feels good in this deck. So Hydra Broodmaster, definitely earning the stripes and doing work. So continuing, we have Kalanian Hydra is trample, enters the battlefield with 4 +1/+1 counters on it. Whenever it attacks, double the number of counters that are on it. So it comes in with a 4, it attacks, it goes to 8, it attacks again, goes to 16, it attacks again, goes to 32. I mean, it just escalates. So if there's no removal or anything like that, this guy's going to get huge and do a pig. So continuing down the way, we got more Eldraine cards. So Keeper of Fables. 3 green-green. Whenever one or more non-human creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, draw a card. So a lot of our creatures are going to have trample, which is going to enable us to make them huge and then get in there for that damage, which will then enable us to draw more cards. Hydras are really interesting in that they're very combat-centric, but they control the board through combat. Like the options that you give your opponents when you run large enough Hydras and can protect them is block the creatures and lose yours but survive, or take so much damage that if you don't fix your life, you're going to die in another turn. I mean, we're talking about 30, 35 damage easy coming in hot off of these guys in combat when you're attacking with them. So it really is just absolutely nuts, the power that comes out of them. So Keeper of Fables definitely will enable us to draw a bunch of cards, knowing that we can get in for damage just off of the sheer size and power of the creatures that we have in here. All right, we've got Colony Hydra in here, which is green, 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 green. So 8 green mana to put this on board. Sounds like a lot, but it's really not. So, Colony Hydra gets our cost 1 green less to cast for each green creature you control. It also has trample and is an 8/8. So, I mean, we're a creature-centric deck. We're going to have a huge amount of creatures. I would say 90% of the time that you draw this and it's in your hand, you're going to be able to play it for free or less than 2 mana. We're talking about a 2-mana 8/8 that comes out on the board with trample. That's bonkers in and of itself and is more than exciting enough to throw it in this deck. All right, we have Crozen Restorer. Crozen Restorer is tap, untap, target land. It's 2 and a green. It has Threshold. Threshold is place ability only if 7 or more cards are in your graveyard. Now, that's kind of an easy pick there. You know, we have creatures that sacrifice themselves. We'll be doing combat a bunch, so some of our creatures will die. So we'll be able to hit that. And with the threshold on Crozen Restorer, we can untap up to 3 target lands. So again, these lands are going to, you know, tap for 3-4 mana. So to be able to untap three lands in the middle of, you know, your turn, it just nets you like 9 to 12 mana easily. You know, that's a huge bump in your mana pool size, and is definitely worth it to run a few of these cards. So, all right, we have Lifeblood Hydra. Lifeblood Hydra is X green, green, green. Enters the battlefield with X plus one counters on it. When Lifeblood Hydra dies, you gain life and draw cards equal to its power. So the Lifeblood Hydra is going to come in with a huge amount of counters because we're going to have huge amounts of mana. Dump it down in there. Then, when that card dies from either you sacrificing it or from combat, or maybe there's a Death Touch creature that flashed in, so any of the above, you are going to draw X cards, where X is its power, and you're going to gain life. You're going to gain X life, where X is its power. This is a huge card. This actually won me a game the other night, just because a player was playing Niv-Mizzet and was trying to draw me out, or draw himself out, to ping me for all the damage. And I was down to maybe three life, and I had the Lifeblood Hydra on board. I sacked it to a high market. I gained a ton of life back. I drew a whole bunch of cards, and it really set me up for the win. So this card definitely comes into play a ton and definitely is great for this deck. So we have a Land of War Elf, so just a little mana dork. The next card on the list is actually a powerhouse in this deck. It is Magus of the Candelabra. So Magus of the Candelabra is one green mana for a 1/2. His ability says X, untap X target lands. So it's a Candelabra, but a Candelabra is about a $600 card. So we won't be adding that one in here. But this guy is awesome. So if you guys remember a couple years back, they had a Magus cycle, right? So Magus of the Wheel was the red one, and it allowed you to wheel your deck. There was a black one that I think caused people to sacrifice creatures. So on and so forth. But this one nets you mana in this deck. So if our lands are tapping for, let's just say, 3 mana each, we can dump a ton of mana into our mana pool. Let's just say we're going to dump 3 lands into our mana pool with them each tapping for 3. That's 9 mana that we have. Now we'll spend 3 of that mana to tap Magus in order to untap 3 lands. So the 3 lands that we just tapped will untap. We spent 3 mana, so now we're down to 6 mana in the mana pool, and now we can tap them again. Now we have 15 mana in our mana pool just through using 3 lands and 1 creature. That is just bananas in this deck. The value is real. The results are real. Everything is awesome with this card, and it's definitely one of the power players in this deck. So Magus is definitely a shoo-in, and we love him dearly. Continuing down the list, we have Mina and Den. Mina and Den give things trample, as well as enable you to play an extra land on your turn. Again, we want to ramp hard. We want to make sure that we have a ton of card draw. We want to make sure that we're playing a ton of lands and really getting that value out of there, right? We want it to be, you know, on turn 10 or 11 of the game when you're playing these optimized games. You know, we're sitting on enough lands to make 30, 40, 45 mana. Where everybody else is just sitting on their 10 or 11 because they haven't missed any land drops. But we've ramped so hard ahead and our stuff taps for so much that it just puts us at a severe advantage. So, continuing down the list, we have Primordial Sage. Primordial Sage is a Beast Whisperer, but much more expensive. So, Primordial Sage is 4 green-green. Whenever you cast a creature spell, you may draw a card. Primordial Sage is also a 4/5. That kind of justifies the cost a little bit. But having him out and Beast Whisperer, you're basically going to draw 2 cards whenever you cast a creature. It doesn't need to resolve. You just need to cast it. Huge value. We have Questing Beast. So this card is actually another card from Eldraine. He is a 2 green-green creature. He has Vigilance, Death Touch, and Haste. Questing Beast can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less. Combat damage that would be dealt by creatures you control cannot be prevented. And whenever Questing Beast deals combat damage to an opponent, it deals that much to target Planeswalker that player controls. So we're running a ton of Hydras that are going to have power and toughness, you know, 12, 12, 15, 15, 8, 8s at minimum. And this card says no matter what happens, that damage is getting through. That is just a very, very powerful effect. Not to mention that him, you know, the questing beast itself can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less. I mean, that's a ton of, like, token strategies and stuff that can't block this creature. And he's a 4-4. So, I mean, this is just... this is a fantastic card for this deck. It really enables us to swing and hit huge. So, big plus there. We have a Regal Behemoth in this deck. So, Trample. When he enters the battlefield, you become the Monarch. And for anybody that doesn't know, Monarch just says, on your end step, you'll draw a card. That's the gift of the Monarch. And if anyone deals combat damage to you, they become the Monarch. So, the Regal Beast, when you're the Monarch, whenever you tap a land for mana while you're the Monarch, add one mana of any color to your mana pool. So this just, it does the same exact thing as what Nikia does, except you're the Monarch and doesn't cut you off of non-creature spells. It just gives you the ability to make huge amounts of mana and do huge things with it and have fun. So, we have Sakura Tribe Elder. Again, go get some lands. And then another Hydra. So, we have Savage Born Hydra, which is a X red-green double strike. When it enters with X plus one counters on it. Pay one and a hybrid red-green. So, one or the other. Put a plus one counter on Savage Born Hydra. Activate this ability only anytime you can cast a sorcery. So it's just another mana sink to dump things into to make them really big, really huge, and he has double strike. So again, questing beast, we can't, you know, the combat damage can't be prevented. We can give him trample a number of ways. We can do all these things, and he's got double strike, which guarantees that you are going to get some damage through. Unless they got some really, really solid blockers. So, Savage Born is a good time. We have Solemn Simulacrum. You know, Baby Burnished Heart, basically. It's going to enter the field, get you a basic and tapped. And then when it dies, you're going to draw a card. So, nice little, you know, pip there for you. We have Soul of the Harvest. So, this is another draw card. So, whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, you'll draw a card. So, this is not a cast trigger. This is an ETB for other creatures, but still is very, very powerful in this deck. We're running 38 creatures out of our 60, you know, cards that we can have that aren't lands, basically. That's a huge amount of value that comes off of this guy. So, Soul of the Harvest is in. We have Spark Caster. Now, this was a gift, a suggestion through one of the people in chat. And this card is just a ton of fun. So, it's 2 red-green. Sparkcaster is a Kavu. When it comes into play, return a red or green creature you control to its owner's hand. When it comes into play, it deals 1 damage to target player. Now, the 1 damage to target player thing is not really a big deal. But what is a big deal is the ability to cast this guy. Dump all your mana into your mana pool. Cast him and return Nikia to your hand so that you can play a huge X spell. Or maybe a big enchantment or anything like that. It gives you the utility to kind of take the negative that's on Nikia and turn it off whenever we need to during our turn. That's a very big thing that we need to pay attention to as we're building out this deck. Is how do we kind of counteract the negative that's attached to her, you know? So... Sparkcaster is just a great way to do that. Plus, it's another creature body, so it enables us to cast it while she's out. We don't have to kind of hope and pray that, you know, something happens. And we don't have to kill her on our own either. It takes us to hand, which means we don't have to worry about command attack. So, really cool card. We have Steelbane Hydra. First off, shout out to Steelbane Hydra and Kinjinson because he's the one that suggested this card. He's always in the chat. That dude is awesome. Steelbane Hydra is a turtle Hydra. I'm going to say it one more time because it's probably the coolest words that have ever been snuck together. It is a turtle Hydra. Amazing. So, This is a rare from the newest set, Eldraine. Steelbane Hydrant is a battlefield with X plus one counters on it. Got it. Pay two and a green. Remove a counter from it. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. With the amount of mana that we make, this is basically tap one land and destroy target enchantment, right? It's a Swords of Plowshares or Path of Exile for an enchantment or artifact. It's awesome. And really works well with this deck. So definitely loving that suggestion. We have Teemer Sabertooth. And Teemer Sabertooth is another way to bounce Nikia back to our hands in order to kind of use the mana for a big X spell or anything like that. So Teemer Sabertooth is one and a green. You may return another creature you control to its owner's hand. If you do, Teemer Sabertooth gains indestructible until end of turn. So we can just pay two mana, bounce Nikia back to our hand after adding all the mana in the mana pool, and cast our instant sorcery or enchantment cards without any risk to us. Huge value, great time. Getting it done. So we have the Ulvenwald Hydra. This is from Innistrad. So he has reach. He's four green. Ulvenwald's Hydra's power and toughness are each equal to the number of lands you control. When Ulvenwald Hydra enters the battlefield, you may search your library for a land card, put it on the battlefield tap, then shuffle your library. This is search your library for a land card, not a basic land card. So there's a ton of utility lands in here, and it'll really help you set you up. And then if you have like World Waker out or a Crozen Restorer, you can untap the lands that you just put into play tapped using their abilities, which I think is just sweet. So we have Vizier of the Menagerie. This is from the Amonkhet block. You may look at the top card of your library. You may cast the top card of your library if it's a creature card. And you may spend mana as though it were mana of any type to cast creature spells. So this just kind of gives us a ton of utility on the top of the deck. Effectively draws us a card by always enabling us to see what's on the top of the deck. It's a fun card to play. It allows you to set up for your turns. It kind of has a little bit of a defensive feel. But it's definitely good and it's definitely worth it. So we have Voracious Hydra. So X green. Surprise, surprise. It enters with X +1/+1 counters on it. When it enters the battlefield, you can choose one. Double the number of +1/+1 counters on Voracious Hydra. Or Voracious Hydra fights target creature you don't control. So it can be removal or it can just be a huge stompy creature with trample. Which makes it awesome. What's also really cool about it is that it's a 0/1 creature on the face of it. So if somebody removes all the counters from it, it won't die immediately. I mean, granted, it's kind of neutered really, really well. But it won't die immediately to the being all the counters taken off of it. So that's a really cool effect. We have Whiptongue Hydra. Now, for any of you that have played mono-green decks, you know that flyers can kind of be the bane of your existence to a certain degree. So, Whiptongue Hydra enables us to kind of reel those flyers in so that we don't have to worry about it so much. So, Whiptongue Hydra enters the battlefield, destroy all creatures with flying. Not fight them, not put counters or anything like that, just destroy them. They're all gone. And then put a +1/+1 counter on it for each creature destroyed this way. So for each flyer that you kill using Whiptongue Hydra, it's going to get a +1/+1 counter on it. Now, this card is very situational, right? We don't want to play it with, you know, two flyers on board. But if somebody's running some sweet Angels deck, and it's not Avacyn, and they're not, you know, indestructible, you could play this and destroy all of them all at once. And he becomes extra big. He's also a 4/4 at the start, and he has reach. So it gives you kind of a blocker against another flyer if that's what you need. So we have Wood Elves to go get some more lands. We have Xenagos, God of Revels, in here. Xenagos, I put in there. It's one of my pet cards. I love Xenagos. I love the fact that it just doubles power and it just gets insane in a combat. So, you know, your double strike Savage Born Hydra is now not just double strike, but double strong as well. It's just stupidly fun to do that. And then we have Yavimaya Dryad. So when it enters the battlefield, you search your library for a forest card and put it on the battlefield tapped under target player's control. If you do, shuffle your library. This is an interesting card. It's ramp, but it also enables us to kind of share. It can be a political tool as well because it's put it under target player's control. So again, if somebody needs a land and you know you're sitting pretty, you know, you just make a little deal with them and you can throw them land and you're good to go. So, all right, we're trucking through this list here. We have our sorceries, our instants, our artifacts, and enchantments up. Now, between all of those, we have, let's see, 10, 14, 6. We have 20 of these all together, which is just redonkulous. So, all right. So, instants. We are running, sorceries. We're running Banefire, Fireball, Jaya's Immolating, Inferno, and Traverse the Outlands. So, the first three of those are all X spells to deal damage to face to take somebody out. Like I said, this is a big mana deck. We're making a huge amount of mana, and then we're going to throw it all into huge creatures, or we're going to dump it all into our mana pool, sack Nikia, and be able to cast one of these huge spells. All right? Banefire is an awesome card. It's single target removal, okay? So don't think you're killing the whole table with it, but Banefire can't be countered if it's five or more. I mean, you will definitely be casting it for five or more. So it's an uncounterable, 25, 30 damage on board, which is just awesome. Traverse the Outlands lets you search your library for up to X basic land cards, where X is the greatest power among creatures you control. You're going to put those on the battlefield tapped and go from there. So, I mean, again, we're running huge Hydras. They're going to be 10-10s. This card enables you to go and get 10 lands out of your basic lands out of your library and put them on the battlefield. Huge value, big win. So, all right, our instants. We have Comet Storm, Fall of the Titans, Once Upon a Time, Return of the Wild Speaker, and Tribal Unity. So, Comet Storm and Fall of the Titans, big X spells, kill everybody. That's, you know, the name of the game there. Once Upon a Time is just an interesting little ditty that, you know, we just thought we would have some fun with. So, it's one in a green. If this spell is the first spell you've cast this game, you can cast it without paying its mana cost. You can look at the top five cards of your library. You can reveal a creature or land card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in random order. So, it just lets you dig five deep for two mana and put a creature or land into your hand. It could also be free if it's in your opening hand, which is awesome. So, all right, Return of the Wild Speaker. This is another card from Eldraine. We can choose one. Draw cards equal to the greatest power among non-human creatures you control, or non-human creatures you control get +3/+3 until the end of turn. So either we can draw a huge amount of cards, or we can bump up the strength of all of our creatures using this card. Now, it is a bit expensive. It's 4 and a green. But it's definitely worth the value for that. So, and then we also have Tribal Unity. So creatures of the creature type of your choice get +X/+X until the end of turn. Now it is X2 and a green, so we are going to pay mana into it. But if we pay, you know, 6 mana into this for the X cost, again, huge mana, making it work. We'll have a bunch of Hydras on the field, and all of them get +6/+6. I mean, we're talking about killing people immediately. That's very powerful. So, a bit situational, can probably be subbed out for something else if you want to take this framework and kind of put it together into another style of brew. But definitely a fun card. For artifacts, we're running Ashnod's Altar, Erratic Portal, Lifecrafter's Bestiary, The Great Henge, and a Vanquisher's Banner. So, Ashnod's Altar, sack a creature, get 2 mana. It's a way that we can get rid of Nikia just to, you know, cast those big X spells and win the game out. Erratic Portal. This is pay 1, tap it, return target creature to its owner's hand unless its controller pays 1. It is a 4 mana artifact, and it's awesome. So, it's from the set Exodus, which is really cool. It enables us to return Nikita to our hand for 1 mana, which is just stupid fun. Lifecrafter's Bestiary is scry 1 on your upkeep. Whenever you cast a creature spell, you may pay an extra green. If you do, draw a card. Just a little bit of a draw engine, kind of filtering the top out, making sure we're hitting our lands and hitting the right creatures, right? Making sure that we're setting ourselves up for success. Then we have the Great Henge. This is another card from Eldraine. 7, green, green. This spell costs X less to cast, where X is the greatest power among creatures you control. Tap it to add 2 green and gain 2 life. Whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on it and draw a card. So more draw card engines as well as more counters that can go on stuff. And then we have the Vanquisher's Banner. So the Vanquisher's Banner is 5 mana. When it enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Creatures you control the chosen type get +1/+1. And whenever you cast a creature spell of the chosen type, draw a card. So again, it's another cast trigger to draw. Just a lot of fun, a lot of utility, a lot of you know, power that comes out of these subset of non-creature spells. The enchantments, you'll see kind of a pattern with the enchantments as well. We are running Grown Rites of Illamok, Greater Good, Mana Reflection, Unbound Flourishing, Wilderness Reclamation, and Zendikar Resurgent. So, Greater Good, sacrifice a creature, draw cards equal to its power, then discard 3 cards. This card comes down for 2 in green-green. We can sacrifice a 12-12 Hydra. We're going to draw 12 cards and bin 3 of them. So I get to draw 9 cards, basically. That's dope. That's great. So, Greater Good is very powerful in this deck, especially if we find ourselves in a pinch or we need some card draw. It's very easy to kind of throw, you know, an animal to the wind, throw one of the creatures in there and you know, get the big reward out of it. So, Growing Rites of Illamok, it flips into a Gaia's Cradle. It also enables us to look at the top 4 cards of your deck and kind of put a creature card into your hand. So, that's a huge bonus there. Mana Reflection literally doubles the amount of mana that your lands can produce. It's not in it. Add 1 mana of a color that it produced. It is double the mana, which is just sweet. Unbound Flourishing is whenever you cast a permanent spell with a mana cost that contains X, double the value of X. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell or activate an ability, if that spell's mana cost or ability activation contains X, copy the spell or ability. You may choose new targets for the copy. This card is a powerhouse in this deck. This card is definitely one that you want to kind of defend and take care of, because this enables so much jank in your deck that is unreal. It will double the effect of Magus of the Candelabra, enabling you to untap twice the amount of lands for half the mana, right? It is any Hydra creature that comes in with X +1/+1 counters on it, that is going to double. The monstrous ability on Broodmaster is going to double because of this effect. I mean, this card is a win game card. So, definitely a powerhouse, definitely awesome, definitely right at home. We have Wilderness Reclamation. So at the beginning of your end step, untap all lands you control. This kind of enables you to use Vivian really, really well. If you remember from the beginning, Vivian's static ability is to let you cast creatures as though they had flash. So we can just throw the creatures out there, and then Wilderness Reclamation will untap the lands at the end of our turn so that we can utilize our hand to, you know, take care of what we need to take care of, or to activate the abilities of our creatures more effectively. So, really cool. And then we have Zendikar Resurgent, just to finish up the list here. Whenever you tap a land for mana, add 1 mana to your mana pool of any type that land produced, and whenever you cast a creature spell, draw a card. So you can see kind of the synergy that goes with the deck there as well. For lands, we're running 38 lands, mostly because we can search a ton of them out and get everything onto the battlefield. 38 is kind of my go-to number. I don't like to run more than 40, and unless my deck is very, very low CMC and more of a competitive style deck, I will never really go below 36 lands. Krenko was an adventure in and of itself to brew, and that deck is a very, very low CMC. So that's why that deck has 33 or 34 lands in it, but that's pretty much the one-off situation where that matters. So land-wise, we're running Baseju, Cinderglade, Command Tower, Evolving Wilds, Fabled Passage, Gruul Turf, Hall of the Bandit Lord, High Market, Ice Flow, Kessig Wulfron, Maze of Ith, Nykthos, Ornn Reef, Rogue's Passage, Rootbound Crag, Spire Garden, Stomping Ground, Terramorphic Expanse, Wooded Foothills, and the Yavimaya Hollow. Just a ton of value. That's literally all it is. Just value, 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 just to make sure that the lands are, the utility lands are doing great things, and we're maximizing the benefit of having our ability to add a ton of mana over time because of our enchantments and our creatures. So yeah, that's it. That's the Nikki list. You can find it on moxfield.com. It is, it's under the Deck Design Show. It's just the big mana Hydra deck. You can find the whole list online and download it out, and then you can kind of just dump it in and take the deck for a ride. The deck itself plays very, very powerfully. It is very, very strong. Your ability to dump creatures out onto the battlefield is never questioned and always a concern. So you have to play with that in mind. You have to think about, okay, they know that I have creatures, they know that they're huge, and they know that it's going to, you know, somebody's going to die here. So you have to play to your ends in that regard. It makes the deck very fun to play because you sit in the power seat a lot with this deck. The mana that you can generate and the advantage that you can get from the card draw to the creatures to, I mean, you're basically being, people are unable to attack you basically because you can block anything that they throw in front of you. Token strategies are difficult with this. So I would respond to token synergies very aggressively in order to kind of make sure that you're not going to get overrun by a bunch of little guys, right? That can quickly cause a bad day for you. So that's our Nikia brew. If you want, like I said, the deck list is on moxfield.com. It is up there for anybody to see, anybody to check out. Make a ton of mana, play a ton of creatures, draw a ton of cards, deal a ton of damage. That's it. That's your life story. So, going on to the end of the episode here, our next brew is going to be this Thursday. And we are going to brew 4-color commanders. We're going to start with Brea. Brea is going to be our artifact commander for, you know, what we're going to brew on Thursday. I've been really interested by Brea. The very first EDH game I ever won, I won with Brea, and I had no clue what I was doing. So it's a ton of fun to play the card. It's a ton of fun to, you know, do all of it. And I'm really looking forward to the build. We're going to go with definitely a combo build inside of a control shell. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what you guys bring to the table when we actually brew this commander out. Brea is a ton of fun. She's part of the 4-color commander cycle that was in the pre-cons in 2016. It holds a very special place in a lot of brewers' hearts because I think it's the only time that we've had 4-color commanders outside of like the Nephilims, which aren't really commanders. They're just 4-color creatures. So lots of fun. So that's what's going on Thursday. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I had a great time talking. I had a great time, you know, chatting about Nikia. Thursday, we hit some new goals. We put some stuff together there. I have some super sweet sub emote badges that I would love to give to you guys. If you guys go on to twitch.tv/deckdesignmtg, we're trying to, you know, get our community going. We're trying to grow it out. So it starts with you guys and it ends with you guys. You're the lifeblood of this whole channel. I'm just the guy who talks and loves to brew decks. So hop on over to twitch.tv/deckdesignmtg. Give us a sub. Give us a follow. Go on to YouTube. Sub to the YouTube channel. And give us some support. And I hope to see you in the chat. We are going to be brewing Brea artifacts. And it's going to get super duper weird, y'all. With that being said, I am going to pack up my stuff. I'm going to go to work on this podcast as well as all of my other doodads that I got to do for the channel. And I'm going to kill it. We're going to get it done, guys. Love y'all. Y'all have a great day. Thank you for listening. Peace.